Hello and welcome in to another episode of Podcast 63, Season 3, Episode 28 with Buck and Lou. We have lots of stuff to talk about, all about who's staying, who's going, who's moving on, and who is committed somewhere else. So we will be talking, it will end up being pretty much half of our roster we'll be talking about this episode. We'll be talking about all the seniors, our guy Krutwig, and then the four other ones as well. So we're just gonna dive into it, talk about what we are looking forward to, say our goodbyes to others, and overall just talk about what we do best, and that is talking about our Loyola Ramblers. Lou, I don't know, how are you feeling? You more excited, or are you more sad that you got guys leaving, or mix of emotions, or how are you feeling?
Yeah, definitely bittersweet. Again, it's one of those things where it's like you're happy to see guys kind of leave and then also come back. And then you're like, oh, but I wish they all were coming back. So one of those. But again, I'm excited just to talk about our seniors finally. We're happy they let us all know a decision, and I'm happy they took their time. It's a big decision, especially for some that wanted to go, and then that some wanted to come back. So I'm excited to get more into it.
Yeah, so let's not beat around the bush here. The first one is obviously Cameron Krutwig, the All-American, 13-team All-American, Conference Player of the Year, Final Four, Sweet 16. Y'all know who he is by now. He had been going back and forth. There were some rumors like, oh, well, would he leave to go with Porter and play to Oklahoma? Could he transfer? Would he stay in college? Do you think he could get drafted? You know, all of these things, right? Like, he had a lot to go through, and rightfully so. He did take his time. I'm sure he got opinions from scouts, from, basketball professionals, both in America and Europe. And ultimately, what he decided is that he was going to move on and put his name in the draft. And he was going to play professionally, whether that's in America or elsewhere. Next year, he's going to move on and play professionally. I forget where I saw this. I feel like he got interviewed at one of the Chicago radio stations. Someone asked him, like, oh, did you ever consider going to Oklahoma? And he said, no, I never did. Like, I was always going to be – it was either going to be Loyola or moving on. And, you know, who knows if that's actually the truth, but, like, at the very least, it's the exact right thing to say, right? Like, you make your Loyola fans happy. You don't have to tell them that you thought about maybe transferring, and you get to move on. So I don't know if that's true. I hope it's true. I wouldn't be surprised if it's true, but I also think he probably considered everything because he should. It's his future. It's his it's what he's going to make his money doing for the first, however many years of his adult life. So the video was great. It was like 4.5 minutes, I think, maybe 5 minutes. Just kind of going through his career highlights. Again, Austin Hansen just knocked it out of the ballpark. He's always producing top level stuff. Best in the business, honestly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's great. And it was touching, man. Like I teared up a little bit. Like, I got goosebumps. It's been just a hell of a ride for Krut and everyone involved with the team, but for him and his parents and his family, like, it's got to be a good feeling for him to be able to move on and go to the next challenge. And I've heard some little rumors, some good things about his professional career. So, Lou, I don't know, what do you want to talk about first about Krutwig?
I have to say it was a tough decision. I definitely would say, I don't think, like, There's no doubt a reigning player of the year in conference and another Sweet 16 run, he would be dominant if he came back another year. So I think that is a huge thing to put up there. But again, he's spent a lot of great time at Loyola, and I think maybe he just realized it was his time to go and leave on a good note. So definitely tough. I think one of my favorite highlights of the whole video was that his three-pointer from you and I made it into the video. Thank you, Austin. I don't even know if you listened, but that was one of my favorite moments of Cameron Krutwig's career.
Yeah.
So it was just like, seeing that moment, I actually was like, damn, that was a while ago, and this is the end of Cameron Krutwig. That was kind of one of those things where it's like, it's real. It's getting real. So definitely tough. A man who's leads career-wise Loyola Rambler. He's third in games played, and that's two away from Dante Ingram's total, who's in number one. And you would know in a not COVID year, he would have played more. So it's kind of crazy to think. He leads field goal percentage career-wise. He's fifth in points, seventh in rebounds, leads defensive rebounds, player efficiency, which again, that really just only since 2013, I think, but still leads it there. So just overall, I think Cam McCauley is a special player that's played for Loyola, and it was absolutely great to watch him the last 4 years. So definitely excited for his future. Definitely hope to see him play professionally somewhere, and I think he can definitely get a good gig in Europe, but hopefully he's talking to the right people potentially to see what the NBA looks like.
Yeah, I've heard some rumors. Like, I mean, I had a friend ask me, like, well, why isn't he getting drafted? Like, what, he's, you know, a third team All-American. So what, he was, you know, a top 15 best college basketball player this year. Why isn't he going to the NBA? Mm-hmm. And, you know, for anyone who might not know, like, there's a big difference between like NBA talent and college talent. Like there's guys that get drafted all the time who don't have the best college careers, but they have the potential. They have the physical capability. They have, you know, it's mostly physical capability, right? It's like size, athleticism, speed, jumping ability. Like all those things are really important. And lots of NBA teams think that they can teach these young players how to shoot properly, how to, like, the fundamentals, how to pass properly, how to play defense the right way. So for a guy like Cameron Krutwig, who is only 6'9", which in this day and age isn't very tall for a center, can't really shoot all that well, isn't very athletic, like, he's a smart player, he's a crafty player, but he's probably not an NBA player. I mean, at least at this point in his career, who knows? He could still get better. But just like reading some stuff, if he was 2 inches taller, he'd probably get drafted. If he was 6'11" or 7 feet tall, he'd probably get drafted in the second round. Cause then he'd probably be a slightly better shot blocker. He'd probably be a slightly better rebounder and all those things that come with just being 2 inches taller. If he could jump like better, if he was more athletic, if he even had a little bit of a 3-point shot, he might get drafted. But it's just, you know, he's just like a touch off, touch worse, I guess, than a lot of other NBA talent that potentially might get drafted this year. So, but on the bright side, I have heard and read some stuff that, you know, maybe they think the G League will be a good place for him, that he can probably play pretty well in the G League. He might get some 10-day contracts, which are basically like extended tryouts for NBA teams. Allows you to like play in the games and make some money, but it's just for 10 days. So then the NBA team doesn't have to sign you for a whole year. So I do think there's going to be opportunities for Cam. I think it just kind of depends what he wants to do. Like I wouldn't blame him if he was like, well, I don't know about this whole G League thing. I can go get a contract in Serbia to play for 3 years and make a significant amount of money and know I'm going to be there for 3 years. Like there's some permanence to that, right? Like, and I can see why he would want to do that. So I don't know. I guess we're just going to have to wait and see with him. I do think that he has a shot to make it in the G League, and that would be really fun because then we could watch him play, to, you know, technically, I guess, like ESPN Plus and stuff. So I hope he's able to do that. I hope that's what he wants. But ultimately, I think he's going to make the decision that's best for him and his family. But Lou, do you think, like, what does that all make sense? Like, do you think he could be a G League player, or like, have you heard anything, or what do you have any guesses what he might do, like, professionally in his career?
Yeah, I personally, I really do think, especially the G League actually might even be tough. And the only reason I say that, one, is because the G League now is pushing to get high school guys. Mm-hmm. And they're really casting a wide net on who they're getting. But I definitely think you could see Cam really might be tough, but I you might see a summer offer, summer league. For those of you who don't know, there's always summer league camps that go on where the NBA teams have their newly drafted guys they didn't draft, they unsigned draftees. So guys who didn't get drafted, but they get signed to just maybe a contract over the summer. Come practice. Let's see how you do. But personally, I think, and I know people are like, oh, it's not the NBA, but it's a good career. And I know a former Rambler who I wonder if he's in contact with, and I really hope he is, Blake Schlieb, has a great living and has won championships, is Europe. And I say that because of Cam's playing style. He's a very high IQ player, and yeah, he's not the one who's running down full speed and dunking. He's a big man, but he knows how to make the move underneath the post. He can pass it out, which, in my opinion, European style is really big and huge. And a former Rambler, Blake Schlieb, he's won plenty of champions. I'm pretty sure he's at least won the Euro twice. He's played at the highest level. So I'd be really intrigued if they're in contact, because I do think they're very close. I know Schlieb was 6'7", I believe. I think he was more of kind of like the small forward-ish at Loyola. But again, just being that experienced person, he's won EuroLeague champion once. So I really just felt comfortable. And when I saw that, I was like, okay, that's a EuroLeague star, I think. But again, I think he deserves a chance to be looked at. That maybe the Bulls might look at him. They did that with Dante. They did that with Milton. So guys who have made an impact, they'll just like, hey, come and practice with us and see. Mm-hmm. So definitely would be intrigued. And again, just to your note, I think you described it perfectly, is like, when you look at these guys who are in these mock drafts, it's like some of these guys are 4 years, 3 years younger than Cam, and they're the same size of Cam. They're maybe a little bit more athletic. So some of the NBA teams are drafting them for the potential in 3 years they're ready to go. So that's another thing. A lot of these guys are getting drafted 18, 19. Cam's already there at 22. He spent 4 years in college, which is absolutely fine. He's getting better at his craft. So I think that's why people are like, oh, Cam should be in the NBA draft. There's only two rounds. It's not the NFL draft. You don't go seven rounds. Mm-hmm. There's a finite amount of picks. So the NBA draft, in my opinion, is actually very hard, because also some teams don't need every position. Some teams only need guards. So they're not looking for a potential of a 6'8", not as tall center or power forward, but who's got good, decent spin moves. So like you said, I think if he was maybe 2 inches taller, he could be solidified as a decent center with definitely a little bit more reach. So, and just one thing I had in my notes, you're going to see a lot of people like, oh, he was Joker. He's the Jokic of Loyola because of how great he passes. Joker also is a sniper from three. So yeah. There's a little bit, and I believe Joker's definitely got a little bit, a few more inches on him.
He's like at least 7 feet. I think he's like 7'1".
Yeah, so I love the comparison. Like, there's absolutely, I think Joker is a high IQ player too. So just Joker has another weapon in his arsenal, and that's his 3-point shooting. I love the comparisons, but Cam, I really do think is gonna could have a great career potentially in Europe. But again, we'll see. But again, hats off to you, Cam. We appreciate it, everything he's done. I think if you look at it, the last 4 years have been some of the greatest since the 80s, and maybe you could say 1963. Of Loyola Rambler basketball, and all 4 years coincided with Cam and Krutwig playing basketball for us. So I think you can't now move forward. You can't think Loyola basketball and not think Cam and Krutwig. So that's what I got. Unless, Buck, what else you got?
I have one funny story, and I've been meaning to tell this story like for a couple years on the podcast, and I just never remember.
Uh-oh.
But I think this is the perfect time to tell it. It's a send-off. So I had to be – like 3 years ago now, I think. I was staying over summer at Loyola. I had a job near campus. And I got a membership to the gym, like, during the summer. And I would go and
the play school basketball. Gym?
Yeah, Loyola.
Gotcha.
At Halas. And I'd play pickup games or just shoot around or whatever and use all their stuff at the gym. And most of the time, there was a couple basketball guys in there. Like, I always remember, what's his name? Adarius Avery, actually, was there. Like, he was on Final Four team, and then he transferred. I remember he was there a lot. I'm trying to think who. I mean, Will Alcock was there a lot. I feel like there's one other guy who was there, and I can't remember. But those two guys for sure. And then, like, I think maybe three times the whole summer, maybe twice, I ran into Cameron Crutwig. And there's one time in particular where there's 10 guys at the gym and we were playing a pickup game. And of course, like, you know, like normal pickup games, like it's guys that are like 5'8 to 6'3 usually. That's like the range. And I'm 6'4". So usually I'm the biggest guy on the court. And but of course, like both it was Will Alcock and Cam were playing. And Will's like 6'5 or six. He could even be like 6'7. He's pretty tall. And Cam's, of course, like 6'9. So, of course, one game I was playing with Cam and one game I was playing against Cam. And, of course, the one game I'm playing against him, I had to play defense on him. And, like, no chance he was going more than, like, 50%. Not even. Like, 30% effort, right? Like, he just can't get hurt. That's the whole reason why he's playing. Like, go play pickup game. Don't get hurt. And, you know, I was trying to play, like, tough defense on him. And just, like, my thought was, like, you can, like, I'm not going to let you go through me. So if you want to put up hook shots or whatever, that's fine. I'm not going to give you layups, right? Like, I'm going to body you up, try my best. I know he's not going to, like, barrel through me because he's going 50%. And after the two games, I had an atrocious offensive game, for sure. But I remember I played against Cam, and then when I was on his team, like, I remember him, like, complimenting my defense or whatever. And after the game, he was like, hey, man, like, thanks for playing. I was like, oh, for sure, man. Like, you know, it was good playing with you. And he's like, yeah, really good defense. Like that you have, like, a lot of intensity. And I was like, oh, like, appreciate it, you know. And then he was off. But I did get a compliment from Cameron Crutwig on my defense. So
maybe you just felt bad because your offense didn't seem, but
let me have my moment, okay?
No. I think you just said to the nation, I think you just said that you locked up the MVC player of the year. I think that's what you just said. I think you did a better job than Drake. You did a better job than Kofi Cockburn, it sounds like.
That is true.
Because Kofi definitely did not play defense, I would say, but no, I think that almost, again, you see him with all these interviews this past tournament, and he's just a true guy. I think he's a guy that, he said he doesn't get too intense. He just, like, jokes around with the opposing guys, like, hey, what you running? So I love stories like that, and I think, like you said, it's nearly a great way to close a book at Cameron Crowe, because he's just, like, he's a guy that I think in 10 years I'd love to see him play an alumni game, and it's the same type of guy, just taking his time, doing what he's good at.
His game isn't going to change for 20 years. He's going to be 45 out there still doing the exact same stuff. So good for him.
Exactly.
My last point is retire number 25. There's no reason why Loyola Rambler should ever wear that number again. So if anyone deserves it, it's Cam. Thanks for a wonderful, fun career, 4 years, man. Like, just, I don't even know. Can't sum it up because it was just that great. So, well, I think we got to move on, but we do have good stuff to talk about. So that's a good little transition there. So our other seniors, Tate Hall, Lucas Williamson, Ahiro Ugwuoke, and Keith Clemens, we've all been trying to figure out who of that group is going or staying potentially. And I think we've talked about it a couple times, and I don't think either of us really anticipated this. Like, I think we both thought maybe definitely two, probably three, but we didn't really know who. Mm-hmm. You know, at one point we were like, oh, Lucas might move on. Then the next week we were like, well, I think Tate Hall has a lot to prove. Maybe he'll stick around. Turns out all four are staying. Again, like, it's kind of hard to tell who was in from the get-go, but some of the reports I saw were that Lucas was really the only one who was like, maybe I'll go, maybe I'll stay, maybe I'll try to go play in Europe or see what I can do. But he ultimately decided to stay. So they released a super fun, again, Austin Hansen. Austin said it was Coach Drew's idea, this little fun, like, minute-long hype video, I guess you could say, or, like, the teaser of things to come.
I think it was more like the bat phone.
Bat signal, yep. So. Have all four guys coming back. That's a joke about... I'll continue, but then I have a question for you at the end of this. Okay. But yeah, all four seniors coming back. Really excited for them. I think they're really excited. You know, I think they're going to take this super seriously. They know that they were a top 25 team last year, and lots of talent coming in, lots of guys getting better. So I'm sure they're thinking, like, you know, we can do it again. We can be a top 25 team again. So, Lou, what was your, like, initial reaction to that video, or just, like, the fact that all four are coming back?
Yeah, I was really shocked. I don't think I expected all – definitely didn't expect all five. Did not expect all five, but didn't expect more than really, I was leaning – I was thinking three was going to be tough, thought two was solid, but four – Really, excited. Shocked as well. But I think it just shows you the impact or the trust also these guys have in Drew. The guys also feel comfortable. Some of these guys, what here was on the bench because he was transferring the year we went to the Final Four. Lucas played in the Final Four. Both Keith and Tate transferred into this team who came in, and then they got to have their own run. So these guys know what Tate winning is. Lucas, out of the four of them, the most. I really thought of here. I'm just going to say I thought he was going to leave because, again, it's the kid himself had a great year. Third team all-conference, arrow going up just at the pinnacle. At kind of, I don't think he's at his apex. I think he's getting comfortable. But I just thought maybe he could see himself getting maybe more minutes and more minutes somewhere else. But then, again, as you look at it, even Tate, a guy who started and then came off the bench but still contributed. Keith really got into a rhythm, I think, late in the season and really consistent. I always – now if I look at the season, I think of Keith with early threes to start off the game and then Lucas just with his defense. But if I really – am I intrigued to think about it? I am thinking about how this year with so many people transferring that made it – maybe the decision to stay made it even easier because it's like – everyone's transferring. Like, everyone's about to be a new team. Why don't we just play with the guys we know we have? And, yeah, we have a few new guys coming in. That's like, every year. Every year in a normal year, not a whole COVID transfer year, you'll have a few new guys. But maybe the idea to Drew to be like, hey, let's run it back is true and makes it easier for these guys. Like, hey, I know these guys already. We're going to run the same plays we did last year. I have to leave and now go run a whole new system with a whole new team. So I really think that also could have been a decision. I think it also is on the fact of Drew staying. You saw Ahir at the press conference. You saw Tate at the press conference. I don't remember seeing Keith. Correct me if I'm wrong. And I believe Lucas was there out of the three out of the four.
Correct,
so,
yeah.
I really do think it's that they're all bought in. Drew said that in his press conference. I need guys with 2 feet in, but I'm there to help them make the best decision, which I truly think he is. So I really think this team can do some damage still. Their core is still there. So absolutely core is still there and excited about what's to come. But excited for all four, Tate, Ahir, Lucas, and Keith. All four guys made massive contributions. If you think about it personally, Ahir, if you look at it, Ahir helped us win the first straight game. Without him, that game was going to be a tough one like it was the second one. Tate always coming off the bench, Keith leading like a point guard, and Lucas just leading defensively. So each guy, I think, had a major role this past year. And I think with all four coming back, just leads to massive contributions coming back.
Yeah, I agree. So I have a super important, pressing, very serious question for you. In that little video, who do you think of the four was the best actor, and who do you think of the four was the worst actor? Because I have a very correct answer that I know I'm right about.
Okay, well, I'm right about one. Worst actor, and I just have to say it because I thought he was going to not do it, but you knew Lucas was faking that phone call because you couldn't see him picking up. I wanted to see, like, Coach Drew and slide, like pick up the phone call, but I just joked about that. No, but best actor, I'd have to say, you know what? I would have to say the best actor was Drew.
Okay.
Drew
was
the best actor.
Right. I'll think. Yeah. I love him, but I do think Tate Hall is not. He needs to stick to his basketball job because I think
for the 10-second line he had. Geez, wow, you're rough on this one.
Oh,
I know the Oscars were just last night, but you're rough.
Lucas had a longer portion, and you're bagging on him. No, it's all fun games, but I agree with you. Coach Drew is the best. He was the star of that video for sure.
And then you said, sorry, that it was his idea. So
yeah, Austin tweeted that it was.
Awesome.
It was
I didn't see that. That's awesome.
It was like a reply to someone.
Well, one thing I want to say about the video really quick is that I don't know about you guys or everyone listening, fans, but I was hawking. I paused it when they came up with the roster board. Yeah, I was really trying to see if I was trying to see other names that didn't look like familiar or names that weren't on the board. I was really trying to find it, but I think I just saw Knight's name and then, of course, just the four seniors. So I was really trying to look for y'all. I was trying to be like, oh, is there any way I could slow it down? Even for someone's like, no, that's not a thing. So
I thought it was cool they did it that way. I'm glad that they all did it together, like that they figured out a way to do it together. It just shows unity. Like, I know it's like silly, you could say like, oh, it's cheesy or whatever, it kind of is, but I do think it's important that those guys all decided to do it together. Like, I think that it shows they wanted to do it together, that like that's, you know, a whole team aspect of it. I do think it's kind of important, be it like a little silly. I'm just excited for it. I do have like some ramifications. I'm trying to think about. I thought I had one other point about the video, but maybe not. Yeah, it's just cool to see them all. It's a good. It honestly, the thing it made me do is email the guy from ticketing and be like, hey, I need to make sure my season tickets are locked in for next year, and I need another ticket. I'm upgrading on the two. So, but that's apparently. If you have already been a season ticket holder, you are still fine. They'll email you in a few weeks or so about renewing and potentially moving seats. So I just wanted to make sure.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
If you are not a season ticket, if you have never been a season ticket holder, then you do have to put down a $50 deposit. And now you can do that now. So I got the information from Brian. So. Some of the ramifications, I don't know, are you done with the video? Do you have anything else to say?
No, the video was great. Always a pleasure to watch it. Always a pleasure to watch more content.
Yeah, one of my biggest takeaways is just about all the four seniors staying. And I kind of, like, I'm still so nervous to say this, like, out loud, because as we learned today, like, Paxton is transferring too, but I can't believe Marquise Kennedy is still staying. Like, what the heck did Coach Drew say to him to convince him to stay? Or what did the guys tell him? Because, I mean, we all know Marquise Kennedy has the most potential on this team. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He could transfer, as we saw, Joseph Yosefu from Drake, who's a very comparable player, I think, to Marquise Kennedy. They were neck and neck for 6 years.
Yeah. No, that's a great comparison, yeah.
Both, like, smaller-ish. I think Yosefu is actually a little bit smaller than Kennedy, I think. Maybe not. But very, like, similar play styles, very explosive, both of them. Both can get hot from three. I would say Yosefu is maybe a little bit better three-point shooter, but I think Kennedy is probably a little bit better defender. And Yosefu transferred to Kansas. Not Kansas State, not UMKC. Not, you know, I don't know, like another school in Kansas, but the Kansas Jayhawks. I mean, that's top five, at least top 10 program, just like nationally every year. Like, if that's where Yosefu can go, Marquise Kennedy can go anywhere he wants, I'm sure, except maybe like Duke. And that's probably about it. He could go anywhere he wanted. He could, I'm sure, transfer to Northwestern and he could play 30 minutes a game. Like, he could go to Minnesota and play same thing, probably play 30 minutes a game, but he chose to stay, at least at this moment. Knock on wood, do whatever you got to do if you're superstitious, but at this moment he's still a Loyola Rambler, and unless he just blows everyone out of the competition next year, he's probably still going to be playing 20 to 25 minutes maximum a game, and that's just it's just crazy to me. I can't believe like Drew has convinced him and he built that relationship. And I have seen that, like, I think Marquise and Keith Clemens are like really good friends. So I'm sure that decision probably influenced him a little bit, But yeah, man, I just, that's crazy. I'm so excited that he decided to stay. I don't know. But do you have any thoughts on that, or like just like ramifications of the forcing?
Yeah, ramifications. I think someone of the graduate transfers is going to be starting. Either one or both are going to be on the bench starting. Is Huddy going to be our starting center? Big question mark there. I think if you said to me before Arch Madness, was Huddy going to be the starting center next year, I'd be like, oh no, he'd be coming off the bench probably. Even if we didn't have Cam, we'd be probably playing small, and Huddy'd be coming off the bench. Lo and behold, Jacob Hudson played all three games in Arch Madness, and then plays.
I think all three.
All three games. Not sure if he played an Oregon State game, but at least two out of the three games in the NCAA tournament. So the last six games, he probably played all six. Now I'm really confused if he's going to be the starting center. So ramification there. So again, with Cam leaving, that leaves up the center position. Do we slide a here and there when we're playing small? Because Chris Knight is only 6'7" at
the he's pretty lengthy.
He's very lengthy. Yeah, and I know in the Ivy. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe he played the center role, or the power forward. So you could maybe go with both of him and a here. So really, that's the biggest hole I think that is a ramification. And then just bottlenecking. You see today, and like you already brought up, but Paxson Wojcik is leaving. And again, I think that's due to the fact that he has another year to play basketball. We have seniors coming back, and they're the same, dominantly the same seniors that played last year, and he really didn't get a role with them as seniors. So I think it's just him trying to find the right rotation to play in. Yeah, I think that's going to be interesting. You still have Braden. Is he going to be your starting point guard still? Most likely. We saw Baylor Hebb today actually commit, so we don't have. So Marquise Kennedy is our backup point guard, potentially still again. We have St. Thomas. And then also we have the two freshmen coming in, new freshmen. So it really is just going to be interesting to see what the rotation looks like. Is it going to be, again, Cameron Krutwig was the kid who pretty much played 40 minutes, or at least the most minutes, right?
Yeah.
Braden Norris started playing 40 minutes toward the end of the stretch there. So it's really going to be interesting who's playing what minutes and who's starting. I think the starters are kind of solidified, but I don't want to start talking now. I want to, once we get a finalized roster, kind of in a few months, just after all this transfer stuff goes through. But it's going to be interesting. I think we're going to have an interesting position with point guard, and then a massive hole to fill in at center.
Yeah, I actually, you talking about starting lineups and stuff. I'm just gonna throw one out there because why not at this point? I'm definitely gonna be wrong, but who cares? If I had to create a starting five right now, I would do Braden Norris, Keith Clements, Lucas, Ahir, and Huddy. That would be my starting five.
Sorry, say that again. Okay, Braden Norris.
Braden Norris, Keith Clements, Lucas Williamson, Ahir, and Huddy. Okay. I don't think Huddy would play probably more than 20 minutes. That's probably 20 minutes, 20, maybe 25. But I think he would start. I just like him starting. I think it would be fun. Good shooter. Win that tip every time, hopefully. But yeah, that would be my starting five if I had to make one right now. But yeah, it is kind of interesting. We do seem kind of loaded at that wing spot, which is really different because I don't think in years past it hasn't been that way, right? It's always felt like we just have a ton of guards, and now we have a bunch of those 6'4" to 6'7" guys. If we could list them all off, Lucas, Tate, both Schwagers, T.Y. is a little shorter. Ahir, St. Thomas, Christian Knight, I guess, maybe. Chris Knight, maybe he's kind of more big. Tom Welch, I think I'm probably forgetting one. But it's just we're kind of loaded at that wing spot. So I'm interested to see how the playing time goes around. I could see lineups where you just got one small guard and then three, maybe even four of those wing players where it's kind of small ball, but you're bigger at the guard positions, especially the two guard position. So I don't know. Drew's got lots of options. He still has now, I think he has like two scholarships now, because I think we still had one, even with St. Thomas committing. And then now that Paxson has left, I believe it's two. So I know I think we even mentioned this last week, but I think it would be nice for him to add like a 7-footer. Like, I don't, you know, someone who's extremely raw, like maybe even a guy from like Canada or like that's where Ugwak is from. Maybe international. Get someone in there just to help out, add some size, get someone that can defend Jacob Hudson in practice so that they can make each other better. That's what I would like to see out of our last two scholarship spots. But I'm not going to be picky. I think whoever he adds is going to be someone good. Do you have like a thought, like anyone you kind of player you might like to see added?
I don't know, because it's tough. So right now, when I look at the roster, we have 14 scholarship players.
Yeah.
So it's just weird. And that's like four
seniors don't count.
Exactly. So then so the four seniors don't count, and then the two grad students, do they count? Like, that's where I'm a little lost.
But then
the tough thing for me is like, are we at a point where it's like, I think we shouldn't be stacking the roster, because then what happened with like, I don't know. I do like the idea of kind of a unique player, like that 7-footer from Kent. Like, I do love that idea, who has that one unique skill set. They're not, like, known for some more than one thing. But, like, I'm really worried about Denise Anderson. Like, what's his role going to be come that next year? But, again, maybe there will be a role. And I think that's going to be – This is definitely going to be one of Drew Valentine's hardest decisions. Winning games is going to be hard, but this is about how you transform a team in your early years. And luckily, he's a guy who's coached with these guys. Like, he's been the assistant coach for a majority of these guys, or just helped recruit these guys, so he knows these guys. He's not a new coach coming in and be like, hey, I didn't recruit you guys, I didn't coach you guys, I don't know what we're doing here. He knows these guys. So that's even tougher, I feel, because he's like, oh, we got Demezi Anderson to come to Loyola. Well, and I want him to try to find him to play. What about Tom Welch? Like, Tom Welch played so much early on, and then he played less going down. So I'm really intrigued. I think no matter how you slice it, someone's going to be left with little minutes, and someone's going to be playing a lot more because that's what they're focusing on. And that's just how it goes. It's tough, but there's no equal way to share of the 13 scholarships. Equal amount of playing time, especially then with freshmen and guys who are coming back seniors. So it's going to be tough. I'm definitely not going to be like, oh my God, why is he doing this when it comes November? I think it's going to be, he's going to have to learn what the best rotation is, just like we're going to watch what the best rotation is. He's going to have to figure out what guys play well together, especially with new transfers. So, and freshmen. So we'll see. It's going to be exciting. Again, I think this is one of the first times, because of the extra scholarship, that we're wondering, are we too many guys? Like, that's a weird thing to say, isn't it? Like, we have too many guys to worry who's going to play and who's going to be good. So I think it's just one of those things now. I should just let's see how everything's rise. Let's see how the team gets put together.
Yeah, one of the kind of interesting like theories I have, and I guess I don't really have any way to prove this, but with all the seniors staying, everyone has been talking about how, like, the incoming freshman class is, like, kind of the most impacted by that, because there's more guys on the roster, there's less playing time to go around, because these seniors who are staying are potentially going to, like, take a lot of that playing time. So I do think that there's going to be this, like, I don't know if influx is the right word, these, like, leftovers, I feel like, of, like, graduating senior, high school seniors. And if they're smart, they'll go to JUCO or like a Division II school. But I think some of them, you know, really have their sights set on playing Division I. So that's what I want Coach Drew to do, is just like pick up another freshman. I think you might find some guys who just like couldn't latch onto teams because, you know, these mid majors and high majors have their rosters kind of already set, right? Like, I'm sure there's 5 or 10 other teams just like us who have multiple seniors returning, multiple guys that are still in, like, rotation players last year, and a couple incoming freshmen, and they're like, well, maybe we don't need to add anyone. So I don't know how you make that incoming player happy, with like, because he's probably not going to get playing time. But I do think that he, I'm taking a stance. I do think that he should add someone else. And just as long as that player knows, like, even if he can redshirt him, I don't know if that would happen, but just to say, hey, like, come join the team, come learn, let's get better. Maybe bulk up a little bit, maybe lose weight, you know, whatever this player, potential player could do. But let's get you on the team. Let's get you on the practice squad. And you know, we'll see where your career goes in the next few years when there's more playing time to go around. So, I don't know, just kind of a theory, I guess, of mine. So we shall see. But any last thoughts on just kind of the four seniors coming back? I guess we'll probably talk more about it in weeks to come, just like our what we're anticipating them doing and stuff. But anything else today you want to talk about?
Just excited to have them come back, and we'll see how the roster shakes up moving forward.
Cool. So yeah, the other two things we have are players who are moving on from the Loyola Ramblers. We talked about in a couple weeks ago about Baylor. Baylor had put his name in the transfer portal. I think we had talked about, I don't remember if we talked about it offline. I think we might have mentioned it on the podcast that we did think there was a chance, or at least I did, that Baylor might come back, just maybe seeing what his options were. But ultimately, that was not the case, and he did agree or tweeted out something today that he's going to be playing for Colorado State. That seems like a good opportunity for him. I hope he can get some playing time there. If he does play, I think he'll impress people with his offensive ability. Like, I mean, I don't think that was ever a question that he can score the ball. So hopefully, you know, hopefully that's a good spot for him. I think it, from what I know about Colorado State, I do think they play pretty fast. They like to shoot a lot of threes. So I think it'll be a good place for him to, like, show off his offensive abilities. Did you see anything about Baylor that you liked, or were you surprised by that at all?
About him leaving, or more just the team?
Either one, yeah.
Okay. Again, I definitely think him leaving made with everyone getting an extra year, he was like, well, hey, I have an extra year. I have four more years to go play college basketball. I can go anywhere and start fresh and not have to worry about what my position was. I thought he got more playing time than Paxson. He got more playing time than Cooper. He got more playing time than – so, like, I thought he had the playing time, and especially with the depth at point guard. And then I think, though, with the idea he couldn't wait around maybe to see if Keith was staying – and Lucas was staying. So I can see that. I think offensively, he definitely had the talent, raw, strong talent. He knew how to, when he go to the basket, he knows how to go there. He knows how to get to the rim. Defensively, I think he was there. I don't think he's like to the high level we put point guards such as like from Ben Richardson to Lucas. So, I think like Marquise Kennedy definitely beats him on the defensive side. But again, there was a lot of upside, a lot of promise. So thought it was tough to see him go, but definitely could be like, this is such a tough year. Everyone's coming back or not coming back. You don't know. So definitely understood. So yeah, just kind of interesting. Funny enough, I just found it funny that he was heading to Colorado State, and yet we just hired one of their assistant coaches to be our assistant coach. Their
video
director, media video, to become our video coordinator. So. Just one of those things. But I think with Baylor Hebb leaving, we also have Ty Johnson, who I think is another great point guard to be right there with Marquise Kennedy and Keith and Braden. So tough, but interesting to see, and happy to see him. I don't know. I don't know how we consider Colorado State. They're decent. They're there, but I don't know. I wouldn't say they're definitely not a step above us.
No,
but I'd say they're pretty close to near us. I think we're definitely have the edge because of our recent success. I think they haven't really found any recent success, but it's interesting to see. Again, he's playing. He didn't go down to JUCO. He didn't go back to D2 or anything, and he went back to D1. So congrats to him.
Yeah. Definitely congrats. I hope he does well there. I think he will. I don't see why he wouldn't. And then the other guy we got to talk about is Paxson. Paxson Wojcik. I've always liked him. I like him because I think he's a great, practice player. He seems like a really good dude, like a really good teammate. He's been Like in high school, he was on a really good AAU team. He played with top talent, whether AAU or at his high school at LaLue. He played with Jaren Jackson. On the Memphis Grizzlies. Played against guys like, I think he said he played against Anthony Edwards. So just like, seems like a dude that knows everyone, right? Like he knows. And I remember there was a clip in the Sweet 16 video this year where they were like talking to players and I think they were talking to Lucas, and Lucas is like, man, Paxton knows everybody here. He says hi to everybody. Everyone knows Pax. And unfortunately Paxton is transferring. I kind of have no idea where he'll end up. You know, like I could see like a high major wanting him just to be like on the bench, like just a good bench guy. I don't know, you know, like as a, even like a walk on, I don't know, or like scholarship player. I could see him going to like IUPUI and like starting and being their star, you know, best scorer. Or like I could see him, I think, where is his dad's at Michigan State? Is that?
Yep, his dad's at Michigan State, yep.
So I could see him going to like, probably not Michigan State, but like Oakland or something, and like going up there, like being kind of close to him. Like, I don't know. I just have like no idea. I think wherever he goes, I think he'll do well in whatever role he has. He seems like a good practice player. I really do think if he would have gotten more playing time, I don't think he would have been great, but I think he would have been like a fan favorite because I think he does a lot of little things well, and I think he hustles. And I don't know, man. I really liked him. I wish he would have been able to stay. I'm going to give you one more point here because then it'll give you something else to talk about. At the beginning of the season, the very, very beginning of the season, we had mentioned three guys that we knew were fighting for playing time. There's Baylor Hebb, Paxton Wojcik, and Cooper. And I'm pretty sure we said we wanted one of those guys to get that playing time so they could have a consistent role. And look what happened. Porter split playing time here and there, 5 minutes, 8 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes between these guys. And all three of them left. And it's just like, it's kind of frustrating because I think if one of those guys would have gotten all the playing time, like consistently gotten 8 to 12 minutes or something, I think that one player probably would have stayed. I don't know if there's a right answer of like which one it should have been. But the wrong answer, I think, is what ended up happening. And it was splitting the time so without any reason or pattern. If it was me, I probably would have given the time to Baylor just because I think he has the most potential. But that's just my opinion. Of course, hindsight is 20/20. But that's just a thought I've had. So I don't know, Lou, if you want to take over and just like thoughts about Paxton or like thoughts about what I just said or anything like that, or any thoughts where he might go. You have any idea about any
God, of that? No, him going anywhere, I have no chance. I think he really nothing against him. He didn't get to prove himself as much as like Cooper did. You could say Baylor has 4 more years, so he's pretty much starting off fresh like a freshman. So, but Paxton, man, yeah, he knows everyone. He had guys, Isaiah Stewart, who's on the Detroit Pistons right now, was on his team.
Right.
Jordan Poole, who's on the Warriors, was on his team. Tiger Campbell, who was on UCLA's Final Four run this past year, was on his high school team. Frank was on his high school team. So I was actually hoping that connection to LaLue we could potentially use. But, again, it's just tough. We're not going to probably see that. And again, those guys, really, they go to high-level schools, which is understandable. I think you summed it up great, was that the fact that there's this guy who he was part of three guys who now are all left who we never had this past year consistent role. You could say, oh, Cooper was coming off injury, wasn't really sure. Baylor was a freshman, and Paxton was just too far down the depth chart. Well, then we kind of should have just had one of them fit in a role because it didn't seem like all three of them were going to fit in any role. And tossing one in for the other to fit in a shape that just didn't fit in the rotation didn't seem to be kind of the way to go. So, I don't know. It was just really interesting. I think it's frustrating to understand what was going on, but it's just something we'll have to learn. And Drew and his team will have to learn moving forward. about what they want to do with the roster like that. And again, I think this is kind of similar when we're getting rosters packed like we are right now. We're at 14 scholarships. We're not at the limit of 13. We're at 14. We have an extra guy. So, and we have our seniors coming back. So what does a rotation look like? So that's kind of a just something for, I'd say, Drew to, and his coaches to have to look at.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be, I think, probably the biggest question for him going into the season. He's got the players, right? Like, I mean, I don't know if you want to say Drake's the most talented team in the Valley, but I think Loyola's the deepest team in the Valley, at least right now. Like, of course, stuff is going to change. But I don't know. I mean, I still think that Loyola has just, like, even top-end talent without Krutwig. I do think that it's neck and neck with us and Drake right now. Missouri State has lots of talent too. They have really heavy hitters at the top, and then it kind of peters off at the end. But you know, they have Isaiah Mosley and Gage Prim. Gage Prim's probably going to be top two as far as like player of the year, preseason player of the year in the Valley. And then you got Northern Iowa, who still got AJ Green coming back. Like, and the top four teams in the Valley are going to be as good as they've ever been. But I do think that it's, I've seen a lot of people put like all those four teams together. I do still think it's Drake and Loyola, and then a small gap, Missouri State, Northern Iowa, and then a big gap, and then kind of all other six teams. I think SIU is probably the best of the other six teams. But I just like with all the talent we've got coming back, I do think expectations should still be pretty high, but with the caveat of it's Drew's first year coaching. Let's just have fun. Let's have a good run with these guys still. It's unfortunate that some of these guys like Paxson and Baylor and Cooper and Frank can't be a part of it, but that's how it goes. Like, that's how teams move on, players move on, and teams evolve, rosters evolve. So you go to war with the team you got. So the team we got this year is going to be pretty darn good, I think. Lou, any like last thoughts? Did I forget anything that we're going to talk about this week, or any words of wisdom going into this week?
I think it's exciting to see the four seniors come back. It's going to be a little chaotic, I think, putting a roster together and figuring out rotations. But again, I think this is one of those first times we're in that situation in a while. And I think that's something that it's going to show how Drew wants to start off his coaching time at Loyola, which is going to be exciting and also nervous, which I think. But it's one of those things, I think, Steve Watson, the AD, hiring Drew within is going to make that an easier decision to do, especially with this year, and then also with his experience with the guys on the team. So excited again. I'm just excited, and I want November to start so we can get a schedule, so we can get the roster, and we can just watch some basketball and go hopefully in person. So, but happy to see the four guys come back. Cam, hats off to you. Great career. And to the two guys leaving who didn't really get to have a full career, but happy you got to play Loyola for a little bit, and hope the best to you.
I got a buzzer beater question for you. I need you to answer real quick. It's a little reward for anyone who listened this far. Right now, who is going to be the top scorer of the team next year? If you could guess right now.
Here.
Ooh, okay, I like it. I'm going to go with Tate Hall. That's my guess. I know. There's lots of good answers there.
How dare we not say Huddy? How not one of us say Huddy?
He's going to go off. He's going to be our best three-point shooter. Gosh. But anyway, thank you all for listening. This week was kind of a crazy one, if I'm being honest. I think it was. There's lots of news, and I think it's fun that we're in the national news spotlight too. Like, it's, you know, every time that someone transfers, oh, this guy's transferring, oh, Cam is leaving, oh, four seniors are back, Drew Valentine, what's he going to do? Like, it's all national stories. So that's super fun that we get talked about, and I'm really glad that everyone is here listening to us talk about Loyola basketball. So we hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the podcast. Thank you from Buck and Lou, and always remember, never forget, Go Blurs.